some people from the Vineyard here, then you're really welcome. And Bethan will be at those red doors down there at 1:45. There she is waving. She'll be there at 1:45, and they're going today to South Street. And it's an Italian restaurant. They do really good value, two-course menu for $11.95. And if you have a baby under three, you're really welcome to make use of the baby zone across through those red doors at the back. It's linked with sight and sound. There's toys and mats and places for the children to play. So it makes it more comfortable for them and for you. So the children, the older kids are up in the service today. So don't go anywhere. And I forgot to mention as well, if you're here for the first time today, please pick up a welcome pack. They're on the table at the back, and they give more information about the church, and there's a music CD in there, a Vineyard worship music. And over to Sean.
And I think the younger kids can head on down to kids' church. The older kids stay up, yeah. Christos Aneste. Oh, very good. Some real strong language people here. I'll leave that there. Happy Easter. The King is risen, which is great news. Great news. Okay, just get myself organized here. You know, when John has a vision of Jesus after Jesus goes back to heaven and sends his Holy Spirit, the vision of Jesus is on a throne. So our King right now is on a throne, ruling, and it's in Revelation 4, the description of it, and John falls down before him as if he's dead, because such is the power of and the holiness of Jesus. But Jesus has left his Holy Spirit here with us. That's God's presence with us in power, as to advance his kingdom, to help people connect with Jesus in a life-changing way. So what I'd like to do is just talk just a little bit about Easter and what happened at Easter, one particular event. But imagine today, I won't say anything funny, I promise. Even by people's reactions, you couldn't imagine anyone not knowing who this is. Like, at least in the Western world, you couldn't imagine anyone not knowing who this is. As for Saint Barack, you just couldn't imagine anyone. Like, if you're in third class or fourth class in school, you will know who he is. Actually, if you were to meet someone, suppose you were out for a drink or a cup of coffee, and you were to meet someone, like, you had Time magazine, and there was a picture of Barack in the front, and someone said to you, "Oh, who's that?" You'd kind of think, what planet were you living on that you wouldn't know who Barack is? Well, it was actually a little bit like that in Jerusalem at the time Jesus was crucified. The whole city knew about it. The whole city knew that this rabbi, our teacher, who had healed people, and rumors had he'd raised people from the dead, and he had done stuff in the temple. The whole city knew that Jesus was being crucified on the Friday. Everyone knew. It would be a bit like not knowing about Barack. And we all know the story now, that what happened, he's crucified on Friday. And on Sunday, like I read at the start of the service, the women go to the tomb and they find he's not there. Jesus isn't there. So, and it really is quite a shock. They tell them, go back and tell his followers that he'll meet them ahead in Galilee. And then there's rumors that Jesus starts appearing to people. But life goes on. These people, they'd followed Jesus, they'd given up an awful lot, but life goes on. And two of his followers were from a town called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's kind of like from here to Blanchardstown, roughly, I think. So they're walking home on Sunday. They're walking home. They thought Jesus was going to be the one that would redeem Israel, but he's been killed. He's been in a tomb. Now, someone may have stolen his body, or his body has disappeared, and some people are saying that he's appeared. He's appeared to some of the followers of Jesus. So they're walking home, and if I have... this is what happens. That same day, this is the Sunday, two disciples, they were walking to the village of Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were deep in conversation, as you would be, going over all the things that had happened. They're talking about everything that had happened. And in the middle of their talk and their questions, as they're talking what was going on, Jesus came up and walked along with them. So Jesus, they're walking to Blanchardstown, and Jesus comes and starts walking along beside them. But they weren't able to recognize who he was. And then, then Jesus asks them, "What are you talking about?" And so they have this kind of like Barak moment. They say to him, like, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that have happened these days? Are you the only one that doesn't know what's happened?" And Jesus, obviously, didn't impress them, because he said, "What things? What things?" So they start to tell him. They said that the things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in word and work and word, blessed both by God and all the people. And then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. They had pinned their hopes on him. He was the one. A bit like Barak's, stimulus package. Jesus, they pinned their hopes on Jesus. We had hoped that he was the one. He'd save them from the Romans, that Israel would be free and be established the way God had always intended. And they were hugely disappointed. Just imagine it. Just imagine what they must have felt like. They'd pinned their whole of everything on him. They'd obviously given up significant parts of their work, possibly all of their work. They were following him. Israel was going to be reestablished again. They were hugely disappointed. It's like I don't want to say life had ended, but it was like just something was a deeply, deep disappointment. And actually, often not unlike us, we can get disappointed with expectations we have of God, what God will do or what God won't do in our lives. He doesn't do what we expect. He disappoints us. And for these two men, that weekend, their world really had fallen apart. But, like I said, life goes on. So they're walking back to Jerusalem, to Emmaus. They had to go back to their families, get back to work. And they only recognize Jesus. Maybe I'll read it. So they're walking out to Emmaus. It's late at night. And they're going to stop on the way. They don't make it the whole way. And they stop. And Jesus makes to continue. He makes to continue. He obviously had somewhere to go. And they said, no, stay with us. Stay the night. And so Jesus, he stays the night. And then they tell him about what happened with Jesus. They've told him about all the things that happened. And I'll say, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. And they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. This is from Luke chapter 24. And verse 32, it says, Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And verse 32 says, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? They were experiencing something. As Jesus, they realize who he is, and then he disappears. And then they start to think back. They begin to reflect. Wasn't our hearts burning within us? Like, I don't know how we might say something like, did you have that, like, feeling when Jesus was there? Did you have some sort of experience when Jesus was there? The way they said it, were not our hearts burning within us? They were in the presence of God. Now think about it. They were in the presence of God. Somehow there's some awareness of that deep, deep in them. And yet they didn't immediately recognize it. They didn't immediately recognize it as God. And they were already followers of Jesus. And we don't always immediately recognize God at work in us. And if you think what was happening to them, there's a line in the psalm, we're not our hearts burning within us. The line in Psalm 42, it says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Something like that was happening to them. Something like that was happening to them. The God who is deep was calling to their deep, to the deep in them. And all of us, each one of us sitting here, have at that deep place that God calls to. That the God who is deep, he calls to us. Those of us who've known Jesus, who know Jesus, and those of us who don't, who are wondering, is he true? God still calls to our deep. Those of us who've followed Jesus for 20 or 30 years, and those of us only this past few months, God's deep calls to us. So no matter where we are, or no matter what we believe, or how long we've been followers of Jesus, God is calling to us, to the deep places within us. Although we don't always, like the two boys, we don't always recognize it. It's as if they're walking home, and like the way it describes it, Jesus comes alongside. It's hard to know how. Did Jesus walk really quick to catch up with them? Did he come in from a side street? It doesn't say anything like that. But somehow, Jesus comes along and intersects their life. He comes along and intersects their life. But more than, you see, he's not just walking alongside them. Something more profound, something more deep is happening with the risen Lord and them. Something more deep, and they know it, even though they don't recognize it straight away. That if you like, what was happening is God's story and their story comes together. The story, their journey of their life, and God's comes together and intersects. But they only saw it in hindsight. They only realized it in hindsight. God's connecting with them. And they think back, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? And you know what? Many of us, maybe all of us, and that doesn't matter whether you're a follower of Jesus or if you're not even sure if Jesus is true, all of us can probably think back and think to some sort of experience like they had. Like those two guys had. Not that we were walking to Emmaus, 7 miles outside Jerusalem, but we're on our journey of life, and somehow, somewhere along the road, God's story and our story intersects. The risen Lord comes to walk alongside us. Or as the psalm says, God's deep calls to our deep. All his waves and breakers swept over us. And it can happen in loads of different ways. For some of us, if we think back about, maybe it can be our first Holy Communion or our confirmation or some event like that, you can just become aware that, you know what, as you look back and you think about it, God's deep was Even then, when I was 6, God was connecting with me. Or when I was 12, or however age we do our confirmation at. Or maybe just seeing something beautiful in nature, or a sunset or a mountain, or having a child born. And you just know God uses that thing, that event in our life, to come alongside. And all his waves and breakers come over me. An experience of the risen Lord. And I can even be watching like a film like The Passion of the Christ, or any event in life. God is desperate. He will use any event in life. And it can even be in the hard moments of life, like a breakdown of a relationship, or a death of a loved one, or sickness, or loss of a job. And the pain is real and still there. But as you look back, just like the two guys, and as you think about those things, it's like, actually, as I think about it, I think what was happening to me was what happened to those two men. The risen Lord walked alongside me. The risen Lord's deep connected with my deep. God's story connecting. And often, like the two men, we don't recognize it, or it isn't the way we expect, or God doesn't meet our expectations. But Jesus comes alongside us all. That's his promise. The risen Lord came to come alongside us all. To walk alongside us all. And we all have a story like that. I asked Maria Watson if I could just use her as an example, to which she kindly said, she's nodding her head somewhere, yes, aren't you? There, you're nodding your head, good. I just want to tell just a little piece of her story. Maria was always interested. It's weird to hear it about yourself. Maria was always interested, and if she shakes her head like this, you can tell I'm making it up, okay? She's gone like this. She was always interested in spirituality. And she tried lots of different spiritual roads, lots of different avenues. And somehow, and I don't know how, maybe she can explain someday, she came to church one day. And she just knew she was meeting God there. She just knew she was meeting God there. But, like the two men on the road to Emmaus, God wasn't quite what she expected. Some of the teachings about Jesus, some of the claims that Jesus made about himself as the only way to God, they were really difficult. God wasn't what she expected, but she knew she was meeting with God. So, what she decided to do was continue to respond to the God who was calling to her deep. So she decided to continue to respond to the God who was calling to her deep, to the encountering with Jesus. And she continued to welcome Jesus into the deep part of her life. Even though she had loads of questions, difficulties about Jesus, and over the months and maybe years, as her heart burned with the presence of God, as this happened, she came to a place of surrender. She came to a place of surrender. I don't know if she got all her questions answered. Maybe she never will. Maybe none of us ever will. But she yielded her heart and she surrendered to Jesus. And that's good news. That's good news. That we can be with Jesus. That we can walk, not just from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but from 46 to whatever number of days God gives me. I can walk every day. And Maria can walk every day. Every day. With the risen King. With the Lord of all. Jesus enters our deep. Jesus enters our deep. Because we are all deep. We're all profoundly beautiful creatures created by the living God in his image, made for relationship, made that his deep breaks over us. And it says in verse 26, and Jesus suffered all these things and was risen from the dead so that we can experience his presence, so that we can be with him now and eventually forever. So how do we respond to the God who comes alongside us? Because he's alongside each one of us. How do we respond? And there's lots. Actually, you should read, just read John's Gospel. And you see, there's a whole load of different responses to Jesus, to this Messiah who died on the cross. And some people in John's Gospel, like Nicodemus, said, Jesus is a good man. He's a good man. But that's as far as Nicodemus went. He's a good man. I like his teachings. He's actually, Nicodemus even said, he's even from God. But that Jesus is God is a step too far for Nicodemus. Others said that Jesus was a fool. And there was many in John's Gospel like that. Some people in John's Gospel, they wanted to follow Jesus. They acknowledged who Jesus was. They wanted to follow Jesus, but on their own terms. They wanted to follow Jesus on their own terms. And that's Joseph of Arimathea. A follower of Jesus, but on Joseph's terms, not Jesus's. But the response that Jesus is looking for, the response that the only suitable response, there's only one response to Jesus. Well, there's two. One is the one you don't want to make. The only acceptable response to Jesus is, and this is a pinnacle response in John's Gospel to Jesus, is, remember when Jesus appears to the now 10, Thomas, the doubting Thomas isn't in the room, Jesus appears to them, and they tell Thomas Jesus has risen. Thomas says, I won't believe it until I place my finger in his side. You know that part? And you know when Jesus appears in the room, what Thomas says is, my Lord and my God. That's the only acceptable response to the living God who journeys alongside us, whose deep calls to our deep. My Lord and my God, a complete surrender of my life to the one who says he's my Lord and Master. Complete and full surrender of our lives to Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to walk alongside Jesus in our lives. And that's the response required of people who encounter Jesus, whose life story intersects with God's story. Not just one day, every day we say, my Lord and my God. Not just when God acts in ways in our lives that we hoped he would, but when our life is different than we thought. My Lord and my God. And there's a million reasons not to. There's a million reasons to forget about that time in my Holy Communion or my confirmation when I know God spoke to me. Because God will want to change our lives. And some life is okay right now. And there's another reason, because God wants to take control of our life. Never mind change it, and we won't be in the driving seat. And that's difficult. But when God calls to our deep, when we encounter Jesus, somewhere deep down we know he's the truth. He's the one who is good. He's the one who is king. He's the one who took all our sins on him. He is the one who wasn't in the tomb. And our only response can be, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And what I'd like to do now is just end with a kind of a poem. It's going to go through the clip. I'm going to turn off the light now. It's just a poem talking about who Jesus is. And the man asks the question again and again, I wonder, do you know him? And then we'll do communion.
Hallelujah. That's my key. You know, when I listened to that, it just broke my heart to realize that is he really the king of my life, in the way that I live my life, in the choices that I make, is he really king? And my heart was just saying, like, Jesus, be my king, be my savior. And I don't know about you, that's just amazing. And I pray that as we take communion this afternoon, may your prayer be, Jesus, be my king, be my savior. And that's all that matters in this life. And the Bible says, the night before Jesus was crucified, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever we drink this cup and eat this bread, we are proclaiming the death and the resurrection of our Lord until he comes again. So this morning, may we just take a moment to reflect on that sacrifice. Jesus came to earth to die for my sins. And because of that sacrifice, I can be free. I can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life in him. Lord, we are just so thankful for your sacrifice. As we think about Easter, we celebrate your death and your resurrection. And our prayer today is that you may be our King and our Savior. Jesus, be my King. Amen. So we take communion by simply taking a piece of bread and dipping it into the drink, and there will be 4 points where you can do it from. There will be 2 points at the front and 2 points at the back, and please feel free to come whenever you are ready.
was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you.
Broken a string. It doesn't sound great. Just finished, sorry. That was really neat.
Dos en este. This is from Revelation chapter 4. This is John. He has a vision of Jesus. And he says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, seven being a sign of perfection, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And our God has been good to us. Our God has taken our sins. Our God reigns in heaven. And you know what? For each one of us, God has come alongside us. And if there is a time when you, as the two men, in hindsight, remember God speaking, God's deep calling to our deep, calling to your deep, respond to God, and the only appropriate response is to say, my Lord and my God, a complete surrender of our lives to you. The only appropriate response. Christos Aneste. Happy Easter.